You'll find yourself lacking in the Department of Underpathological Concerns. Have you trouble in the area of pleasing your women and ladies? Does your John Thomas lack the vim and vigor of a younger, more pleasing man? Men, you are in luck. Send only £5 to the North Virginia Institute for the Young Gentleman's Enhancement Clinic and receive Dr. Gregorian's Masculine Supplement. Dr. Gregorian's Masculine Supplement comes with a guarantee that will increase size, girth, worth, birth, width, and versatility in your member. Dr. Gregorian's Masculine Supplement has been banned in Europe after Dr. Gregorian's tallywhacker stabbed a young woman to death. Such was its power. You crave a Johnson that is disturbingly large. Act now and you shall be sent, with no additional cost to you, one case of Dr. Gregorian's Masculine Supplement, lasting 1.5 months. One regimented exercise guide to enhancing performance and agility, one splint to help in the act of urination once your package reaches peach size, and one velvet cushion upon which your genitalia can rest to the admiration and awe of all. Order now and act thusly. A mighty member is yours for the owning today.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 136, featuring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, with Rob Humphreys and the Sarcastic Voyage unpaid voice acting players.
Yes, hi, hello.
How is all of you?
Still haven't figured that out yet. That or that is what you're stuck with.
How high? How high is
everyone? How are is everyone?
You all, everybody.
You all, everybody. That's a thing. That's from
That is
Lost.
A thing. What is that from?
It's from Lost. There's a guy in a fake band that does a song called You Are Everybody or something like that.
Oh, no, I said You All, Everyone.
It's something like that. I don't remember.
Well, I never saw Lost, so
and then it was the polar bear all along, and then it was God. It's pretty much the same as the end of...
And then it was the God Bear?
Yeah, it was the God Bear. You know, God Bear.
All cultures have a God Bear, Al.
It's go back and read your Joseph Campbell. It's an omnipresent, what's the word I'm looking for? Archetype.
Archetype, yes. Yeah. All stories tell the tale of the hero who
the
finds
bear's
a sword
journey.
And fights a God Bear.
The Bear's Journey to Mall Sabrina. Oh, Christ. So, as we sit and record this, it is late evening, and I have prepared my dinner, and I feel like this is worthy of mention because I have concocted the most American thing I think anyone has ever cooked, ever.
Tell me of it.
I have created nacho cheese fried chicken.
Okay, now, this is basically exactly what it sounds like. Fried chicken.
Well, it doesn't have... It's not, like, drizzled in cheese.
But, I mean, like, what did you... Did you melt cheese on
it? No,
it,
I got the seasoning. The nacho cheese seasoning.
Ah, the nacho cheesening.
Yes. And that sounds like a horrible horror movie, the nacho cheesening.
They didn't expect...
No, what I got
the
is...
The nacho cheesening.
It's for, popcorn.
Oh, okay, so like that powdery stuff.
Yeah, you can put nacho cheese, or there's a ranch one, or a few others, and you put it on popcorn. And it was okay on popcorn, but I'm like, wait a minute, this is just nacho-flavored seasoning. I could put this in something. And so instead of garlic and onion and all the other stuff I put in fried chicken, I just mixed some flour and some breadcrumbs and a whole bunch of nacho cheese seasoning and fried up some nacho cheese fried chicken because, I don't know, because America...
Because America, damn it.
That just feels like Twinkie hot dog or like, you know what I mean? Like
deep fried Coke?
Yeah, deep fried Coke. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Matt. Deep fried Coke or deep fried Pepsi?
Ah! Want me some deep fried Dr. Pepper.
And I'm actually drinking a bubble up right now.
Ew.
I don't even know what that is. It's just
that sounds foul.
It's just 7-Up, but it's a different brand of 7-Up.
Oh. Well, I mean, I've heard plenty of, like, the variations for that, you know.
Well, sure. There's always the supermarket knockoff brand. This is just a separate brand, but
President's Choice Up.
Oh, President's Choice are the worst. Ugh. That president has no taste at all. That president just chooses the worst soda.
My mom started buying that one when we were in like.
Oh, sure, because it's not as expensive as the name brand stuff.
Right, but I say we're so like, is this what the president drinks? Like that's. Like
but Canada doesn't have a president, so did you think the president of America drank that?
Well, I mean, yeah, I assumed that it was imported from America. So I go to her, like, so this is, you know, if you went to the White House kitchen, like, everything in there would be President's Choice. Like, his selection of the best
food and
of the
drinks,
best food and stuff, yeah. And then, like, that's what they go with. And she says, no, it's the president of the company. And I sat there for a second, I'm like, well, of course he'd choose it!
How old were you at this point?
7?
So this is when the true cynicism of the real world crashed in on young Matt.
Yeah, well, it was an ongoing process.
Oh, see, I thought maybe that was the moment.
No.
The moment when you realize that grown-ups cannot be trusted and everything is horrible and, you know, you're in this world alone.
Well, yes. That was just when I got bitter about sodas.
That's what I'm saying. Sodas destroyed your worldview. That was your epiphany.
Yes.
That was your moment that completely changed your life.
Oh, my God. And this changes everything.
Of course, if you had access to nacho cheese chicken, you might not.
If I had not access to nacho cheese chicken, yes.
That would have restored your faith in humanity because, you know.
I didn't even have access to KFC biscuits.
Eh, they're all right. They're not biscuits in the sense that English people eat biscuits because those are cookies.
Well, yes. Or crackers.
Yes. Or biscuits.
Biscuit monster.
We'll cover that. Actually, Irish Gav checked in and told us exactly what Cookie Monster is called in the UK. So stay tuned for the mail segment and we'll let you know.
You know, a good name for him would be the Biscuit Baron.
I'll get you, Biscuit Baron.
Curse you, Biscuit Baron.
No, you won't. Yeah, no, I'm just going to quote The Simpsons.
Here's the World War I flying ace getting some crackers.
Crackers? Crack ass cracker?
Yes, it's delicious crack-ass crackers. New from Nabisco.
The other
you
quick
can
thing.
Really taste the salt.
We were, for some reason, talking, maybe having the most boring conversation we ever had about what was the best cracker.
Really?
You and I. And
oh, that's right! I forgot about that!
I think maybe Brian, because it was during our most recent Post-Domic Horror recording,
right.
Before. And we talked about crackers for 5 minutes, and I don't think any of us said it, but we all had that moment where, like, this may be the most boring conversation we've ever had.
I was enjoying that conversation. Yeah. I always liked the option of trying out crackers I've never had before.
Yeah, but none of us were, like I said Triscuits, and he said Ritz, and you said saltines. Like, none of them were exotic in any way.
Well, and then, of course, there's the delicious goldfish.
Well, yes. I like the fishes because they're so delicious.
Nature's most perfect cracker.
Yeah, I will not... I have two different variants of goldfish on top of my fridge as we speak. So, you know, as is usually the case, unless I've eaten them all because they are...
Because, seriously, yeah. Like, how I used to spend my time, it's like, this is a perfect afternoon for me in high school. It's like, okay, get home, eat an entire thing of goldfish crackers, watch Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, that's about right. And you know, that'll last you an hour and a half for a Mystery Science Theater episode. It's not like you're being a pig.
No.
Like you're eating it during an episode of, I don't know, what you would have watched at the time, Bill Nye the Science Guy, maybe.
I was not watching in high school.
I don't know.
That was back when you could watch The Simpsons, like, for 6 hours straight.
As opposed to now?
Yeah, now you can't watch The Simpsons for 6 hours.
I can watch The Simpsons whenever the fuck I want because it's the 21st century and I have it all on my computer. But
well, yes, but then it was the 20th century and you watch what was on TV.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, those sucker times are over, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Also, but The Simpsons just passed its 500th episode, so you can watch The Simpsons, you know, every day nonstop for like a month and not see the same episode. Which is nice.
Wonder how many hours are in a month?
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do the math, but, you know, who wants
to... That always results in a fun podcast, right?
I think so. I did have one quick thing I wanted to talk about in this opening segment, which is how terrible Portland is.
Really?
Yeah. We have this thing in Seattle, and I thought it was just me. I thought it was me just goofing, because we went to Portland, like, for the show.
Yes.
I did episode 75, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Just went down there, had fun, saw Star Trek in the park.
That was our first anniversary.
Yeah. It was the, and that's in the list, in the list of podcast anniversaries, the first anniversary is Portland.
Yes, the Portland anniversary.
The second anniversary is take a few month break over the summer.
Yes.
We did that. I don't remember what the third anniversary is. I think it's wood. But we'll get there.
So look forward to the third year episode when the podcast will be made entirely of wood.
Yes, you'll just hear the creaking of the boards.
Yes, I'm carving it right now.
Yeah, he's whittling. Actually, you're whittling one end, I'm whittling the other, and we're going to like wood glue them together when we meet at Emerald City.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll be delightful. No, but when we went there, I kind of felt this weird, like, this feels like Seattle, only different. It was very much like the Springfield, Shelbyville thing.
Oh, like the fire hydrants are yellow.
Yeah, like that whole, like, oh, it's the same, but it's different. And I had some fun making fun of this and that. And I did not realize that that's a thing, like, for Seattle people and Portland people. Like, we all, like, there's this huge rivalry.
Really?
Here's how I became aware of it. Washington State recently passed gay marriage. Go Washington.
Sure.
And I think we're only one of like five states at this point that even has it. So we can still brag about that. And the whole night that it happened, the whole night that it was announced, like it happened late one night, the legislature passed it. And it was like 8 or 9 o'clock on Twitter when people were like, this passed. Yay. It was all framed like we passed gay marriage and Oregon didn't suck at Oregon. Like, every single one of them said, you know how many gay people can get married in Portland? None. Like, wow, really? I mean, this is a great thing in and of itself, but we're just framing it in terms of how horrible Oregon is. And I just found this delightful because, you know, you can basically compare everything you have to, you know, Portland and say, well, it's better here.
Oh, of course.
I mean, we, you know, we can pump our own gas here, and they can't.
Well, I mean, is that good or not? Like, how badly do you want to pump your own gas?
A lot, Matt.
Like, that's your thing? You just want to pump gas all day?
No, not other people's. Certainly not. But my own? Absolutely. That's in the Constitution.
You're a master of your gas pump?
Yes, the guaranteed right to operate your own gasoline pump is essential. I think it's like the Ninth Amendment or something.
Sure. When you get down to the bottom of the list.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the first. You get free speech. You get the right to bear arms. You get cake, I think. And then
sure, that's in there.
Something about cheerleaders is like number six. And then you get to pump your own gas. And Oregon just blatantly, just fragrantly, just completely ignores the Constitution and says, nope, we'll do it for you.
We'll not pump gas. We'll not pay taxes.
Yep. Well, no. The tax thing evens out because they don't have sales tax. We don't have income tax. So,
No. So
that's the same.
Well, I do. So it's nice going down there.
Yeah, but you also have socialized health care. Like, you pay a lot of taxes to get things.
Yes.
We pay a lot of taxes to have wars. So, yeah, not to get political or anything, but that is what we pay taxes for. But, yeah, Portland sucks was my point.
All right, well.
And,
they also have Powell's, so that's a big one in their favor.
That is a valid point, but we have the needle.
Yeah, no, they have Powell's.
We have the needle.
You tell me what is the point of the needle?
Oh, Matt.
You. I'm really interested.
It's the future.
Uh huh. The future is tall and pointy, and has a restaurant at the top.
Yes. That slowly revolves and make you nauseous.
And a gift shop at the bottom.
Oh, there's a gift shop everywhere. The whole thing is a gift shop. Inside the point at the very top is a gift shop. Where you can buy a smaller replica of the place you're already standing.
And then hold it while you're standing on top of the needle?
Yep. Now, the Space Needle is part of the 1962 World's Fair, where they built this whole display of futuristic stuff. Like, this is what the future is going to be like, flying cars and blah, blah, blah. And actually, one of the MST shorts about, you know, like the crazy future phone technology.
Sure.
Was from the 62 World's Fair, which the 50th anniversary of that is now, which is cool. And Space Needle. Yeah. Space Needle. Yeah, I don't know.
50 years of it not being the future.
Yep. It's still not the future. But we have a Space Needle.
So you got that going for you. Space. Which is nice.
Space Needle. Portland doesn't have one of those.
Nope. She's got a really kick-ass bookstore.
They do have that. And nothing else. But you know what they don't have? Gay marriage. They do deny humans basic dignity of a legal marriage. Whereas we acknowledge that, I think, soon.
Meanwhile, Canada's got gay marriage for days.
Yeah, but, you know, so what?
Who cares what Canada's doing?
No, I mean, of course you guys do. That's, you know, you're ahead of us in all the major ways, apart from Space Needle technology and giant bookstores.
I think we actually have a Space Needle.
Yeah, you do, actually. There's one in Toronto, I think.
Yeah.
I was hoping you didn't know that.
Well, I mean, you're right to assume that I don't usually know anything about Toronto.
No, I'm right to assume that you don't usually know things about actual facts. If it's not in Who's Who or the official handbook to the Marvel Universe, you probably don't know it.
Oh, come on, dude. That's not fair. Those are both ridiculously out of date.
Well, all right. That's a fair point.
DC hasn't put out a news Who's Who since the 80s.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because they keep changing their universe?
Because they know Who's Who now. Because all anyone cares about is Batman.
Well, then why don't they put out a Who's Who of Batman?
Because everyone knows who Batman is.
But now
by everyone,
like,
I mean me.
Now there's like Mexican Batman and Hispanic Batman and Spanish Batman and I don't know.
The Batman of Mexico.
Yeah, Portuguese Batman. No, there's that whole Batman Incorporated thing. So there's like a bunch of them. You need like a field guide to spotting Batman. Olsen's Standard Book of British Batman.
There are over 52 Batmans in this. Not being seen.
All right. I think now it is time to play some bits.
All right.
I'm going to do that. We will be right back.
Hey, Charlie, can you hold this level while I put in the nails?
Sure.
Ah, fuck my thumb!
Jeez, Walt, that looked painful.
Fuck, I wish there was no...
What? You wish what? Why'd you clam up just then?
Nothing. It's nothing. Let's just finish hanging this picture.
What were you going to say, Walt?
Ugh, listen. You ever wondered why I don't have carpeting my house?
What? I just assumed you preferred hardwood floors. They're nice.
Yeah, no. I spilled some wine on the carpet a couple of months ago, and I spent hours trying to scrub it out. Nothing worked. In my frustration, I wish the carpets never existed.
Yeah?
Well, so then this little imp thing just appears out of thin air and says, so, you want to live in a world without carpets, do you? And the next thing I know... Bam! Hardwood floors. I know how this all sounds.
Sounds like a homeless guy came in and stole your carpet.
Okay, well, you ever wonder what happened to my wife?
You never had a wife?
No, I did. We were married for 11 years. And then one day we had this really nasty fight and I told her I wish she'd never existed.
That's a bit harsh.
Yeah, well, that summoned a little imp who showed me what it would be like to live in a world where my wife never existed. And now you don't remember ever having met her. You were our best man, Charlie.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's these goddamn imps! Every time I accidentally say I wish such and such didn't exist, one of these little bastards shows up and makes it all go away. I wish...
Be careful, Walt.
I wish I lived in a world without little imps that zap things into non-existence whenever I carelessly wish something into non-existence.
So, you wanna live in a world without interfering imps, do ya? Well, I'll make it so you get that wish. Oh, shit.
Jesus, his skin is just peeling off! You'd think he'd just wink out of existence, but oh god!
I know, isn't it great?
Are you Sarah Connor?
Yes?
From the Nigerian Chamber of Commerce, I have pleasure of requesting assistance to transfer sum of $47,500,000.
Oh no!
I would like to purchase, but before I proceed with my order... I want you to kindly advise me on any of listed payment you accept.
Delete!
This is the most effective and safest way to enlarge your manhood from Dr. Gregorian.
In 1982, a TV executive entered a Haagen-Dazs franchise store and in a freak accident was flash frozen for 30 years. Now in 2012, he has emerged from his icy confectionery slumber and returned to the business he knew best.
Come in, Mr. Jenkins. Have a seat. I'm a strong believer in cutting through the pleasantries and getting right down to business. So let's just hear the three strongest pitches you have.
Well, then, okay then. You know, first of all, I have something in the superhero genre. Superheroes are still pretty hot, I guess. Huh? So, yeah, it'd be like Batman, except not Batman, because that's copyrighted, obviously. But, you know, a gritty superhero thing. Street level, the comic book geeks call it. We'd be inside this guy's head as he patrols the city every night.
I think...
Yes?
I think rather than tying him to one city, what you really need to do is go hobo with him.
Go hobo.
Yeah, you know, vagabond. What makes a good TV show, any good TV show, in any good drama, is to have your protagonist wandering from town to town, helping people with their problems.
I mean, I don't really think the idea is conducive to...
Kid, I know a lot more about this business than you do. People don't want to see the same boring sets and characters week in and week out. They want adventure, the open road!
Okay, well, let's put a pin in that one. I have another idea.
Hit me.
Okay, this is also a bit gritty. The mean streets of... wherever... Honest cops working against a corrupt system to make a real difference. Think The Wire or Homicide.
Cop shows are timeless. There's a germ of a good idea in there, but I think it needs more...
grittiness?
What? No, I don't even know what that means. It needs the vagabond element.
But they're cops. They're kind of tied to one city by, you know, by definition.
Kid, America's in trouble. Nobody wants to watch people in one tiny corner of this great nation trying to fix their problems. They want to know that help is out there for them as well. Give these cops a van of some kind. Make them outlaws, on the run from the law.
They're cops!
That doesn't prohibit them from being on the run from the law? Or wandering from town to town, solving people's problems for them?
Actually, I think that's exactly what it does. I think it entirely prohibits them from that.
Listen, you simply cannot have a TV drama without some element of wandering from town to town. That's what makes good drama.
Hold it!
What?
Alright, that's about enough of this.
Who are you?
Comedy police. I need to speak with the writer of this sketch.
What? What? Well, that's me, I guess.
Sir, what are you doing here?
Beg your pardon?
You appear to be attempting to stretch a single joke premise out to an unnatural length.
What?
Your 80s TV executive character, he has that one single joke, that every TV show would be like the shows in 1982. You've already delivered that joke, and now you're just repeating it.
I'm repeating it two more times. That's how they do it on SNL.
You're a real piece of work, Watt. You're not just doing what you saw on SNL, are you?
But...
take them away, boys.
And we're back. And we have a guest. We're gonna...
we do.
Start bringing guests in to answer the mail occasionally. Our pal Beeve is here with us.
Hey there.
So, yes. Thank you.
That's him now.
Thank you for being here, Beeve. Let's answer some mail.
Thanks for having me. You're welcome.
Oh, thanks for being had.
Yes.
All right, our first email, oh my God, is so long. So, bear with me here, if you would. It comes from Joel, JB, and he says, okay, fine, Jen and I were trying to have a nice passive-aggressive pseudo-meta war through the medium of emails read over minor league podcast radio. Then you had to get all serious and think that we were serious. Boo. Wait, do people think we're serious?
God, I hope not. That's going to ruin this show.
That's not a question, is it?
No, there's way more here.
Oh, okay.
I'm just wondering, like, he thinks last week when I assumed they were having an actual argument that we were being serious, and now I'm concerned that people, that the perception of us is that...
This is a serious podcast.
Yeah.
Where people talk about issues.
Yes.
You usually save this time for the most serious of issues.
Absolutely. Yes. Which is why, you know, the Coke versus Pepsi debate still rages to this day, because it's essential...
It's unresolved also.
Yes.
Frankly. Yep.
interesting side note on that. I happened to mention today on Twitter that Google has picked up on the fact that we've gotten Coke versus Pepsi so much that the contextual ads are now advertising Pepsi to me.
Well, that answers that question. Yes.
Apparently they are. Yeah, apparently they figured it out.
And
now that we're sponsored.
Well, and our pal Gay Scott then proceeded to say, do you like Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi? And then he said, Coke, Coke! So.
You know, anyone else in our entire viewing or listening audience, I would buy that. I would buy it being.
Yeah,
a typo
I don't
from.
Think it was. I think he pretended it was a mistake. Much like
I don't even think it's a Freudian slip.
No.
Are you suggesting it's some sort of comedy device?
Well, it's much like Ushwin with his gnawing of the boners and so forth. I think it's probably just a thing that he does for attention. But that's
gnaws boners.
Yes. Well, you're gonna take notice.
Excuse me, if everyone could just pay attention to the boner I'm gnawing on over here. Thank you.
All right, then.
Hello, human fly here.
Continuing on, he goes on to say, prove that Canada actually exists. Thesis. I have for years believed that this so-called sovereign nation is actually a military thought experiment writ large. Although not widely known, Canada is the product of a series of research experiments conducted jointly between the United States and Britain during the Cold War, resulting in the public announcement of the Canada Act in 1982. The true legal establishment of this alleged nation-state is found in the Clandestine Agreement for North American Defense Act, or CANADA, thus the name, authorized secretly by Britain, France, and Iceland on 20 July 1969. And it goes on like that, but I think we get the point.
Yes.
Matt, prove that you exist.
Okay. I'm now taking a picture.
No, that's not going to cut it. I mean, you could be taking a Photoshop.
True.
I am not taking a Photoshop.
You could be. We don't know that.
No, I leave the Photoshop where I found it.
You could be taking the piss.
That's the rule of Photoshop. You leave only footprints.
The one set of footprints is where I Photoshopped out the first set of footprints.
Yes, exactly. You saw another set of footprints, so thought, this will prove religion, and then edited them out.
That makes total sense to me. And then, why does the flag not cast a shadow? That's a thing, right?
Flag on the moon?
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, but why doesn't it cast a shadow?
I don't know. Canadian Buzz Aldrin's going to punch me now. Beav, where do you weigh in on this?
I know how you prove this.
Okay.
I know how you prove Canada exists.
Okay.
What we need to do is we need to have Canada produce some mail that was sent to it.
Ooh, that's a good idea, because when you mail something to yourself, that makes legally whatever.
Yeah. I got a library card that way once. And,
from Canada?
And yes, I got my Canadian library card that way.
Ooh, nice.
By sending mail to myself in Canada.
You know, that's really all you need for citizenship up here.
Wow.
I sent it to my regular address here, mm-hmm. but I did it twice, once in French.
Oh, nice.
And then that's how I was able to prove Canada.
And you got do you guys have royal mail? I mean, I don't know how far the Queen thing goes. Do you actually have royal mail?
No, we just have regular mail.
Okay. Is it regal in any way? Is there like a trumpet fanfare or...
I mean, I think there's a duke, you know, like, shoved in there somewhere.
Just in the envelope? In every envelope?
Well, I mean, there's one duke spread thin over every envelope.
Or maybe it's like a golden ticket situation where every 1,000th envelope has a duke in it.
Ooh. I found a free Canadian duke.
You sure you're not thinking of a toque?
Oh, shit.
Which might be a thing you made up.
This changes everything!
I don't think it changes anything.
It changes one thing!
All right.
In Canada, they take dukes in envelopes.
Oh, well, and that proves that they exist because you mailed it to yourself.
Yes.
That makes total
sense. How much steak sauce do you put on it?
Oh, no. We're not getting into that again.
See, I see duke as a poop reference.
This is why we brought you along.
Way people say deuce, I have heard duke.
No, I've...
You can drop
in the same
a serious
way you say
duke.
Like dookie.
Yeah,
like
no, dookie. I get it. I don't need the etymology of dookie. I got it.
I think you do.
Now we also have the title,
Etymology of Dookie.
Right. I mean, I could go the obvious route and say, well, I have a Canadian bride and I've obviously been there, but I get the feeling he's not going to buy that. So,
yeah, but Canadian bride is in quotes.
The amount of hassle you had to go through to get her up or down there?
Well, yeah, I really should have just done what you said and gone the easy route and, you know. Become a Canadian.
Yeah, move up here and get a Canadian library card. We would have had you in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what you're driving a car on right now? You're like, you don't have a license, you just have a library card, and that's good enough.
Yeah, exactly. I just drew a picture of a car on the back.
Now, you guys do drive on the correct side of the road, right?
Which is the correct side?
I don't know. The American side?
Oh, okay. We drive underneath the road.
Oh, man. No wonder I keep getting pulled over up there. By Mounties on horseback.
With drills on the front.
Yes. All right.
Sorry.
What?
Are you apologizing for laughing?
Yeah.
I'm picturing horses with grills, with the gold teeth and the words spelled out on them.
Yeah, sorry. That makes total sense.
Uppercase is horse, the bottom set is life.
Yes.
Yeah, I think if Mr. Ed was made today, he would totally be all blinged out, I think.
Oh, shit, yes.
And he would probably be Canadian. That was my other point about Canada existing, is we have television shows, and we have music playing on our radios here, and, And you know that the U.S. doesn't actually produce talent for those things. It's all from Canada.
Oh, no, no, no. See, here's the thing. We've talked about this many times before. They have those Canadian content laws where they are obligated to play a certain percentage of programming that originates by Canadian artists.
That's true.
And because of that, those guys are painfully aware of who's Canadian and who isn't, and most of them suck, apparently.
Yeah, if I hear a song a million times a day, it means it's a sucky Canadian. Probably Alanis Morissette.
And see, well, the thing is, I know you guys have produced a tremendous amount of good comedians, good actors, but it seems like music-wise, you're spread a little thin.
Yeah, we got the Bare Naked Ladies, and that's about it.
I like the Bare Naked Ladies, although I do think they're sort of, they might be Giants light, but apart from
that. Oh, no, I agree with that.
Well, no, I don't agree.
No?
They take a different route. They do very much the same, what you always say you like in music and stuff, that humor with kind of a, you know, sometimes an awful.
Well, they don't take themselves seriously, and they get a little dark from time to time, which
yeah,
I like.
Yeah, and that's all good. But their music is different, and it's not as experimental, and it's not as concept, and it's poppier.
Yeah, exactly. They might be Giants Light. They don't take as many chances. They're working in the same realm, but they're not taking as many chances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I like them.
That moment ago where I doubted you, I take that back.
All right.
We can take it out in post.
No, we'll just leave in the part where you deny him three times.
Here's your 30 pieces of silver, Beam. I'll give them to you at Emerald City.
Nice. You know, in today's market, that's all right.
Yeah. No, silver never goes down in value. That should always stay.
That's because vampires and werewolves are always a problem.
Wait, can vampires be taken up by silver?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just werewolves.
No, it's vampires,
vampires
too.
Vampires hate silver.
Yeah.
Depends on which vampires you're talking about, I think.
I mean,
that's true.
But I was not aware that any vampires had any kind of weakness or any kind of anything to silver.
True blood vampires, the shittiest, redneckiest vampires, they are totally messed up by silver.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Ditto blade vampires.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because they use the silver nitrate stuff and blah, 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 science vampires. Blah, blah, blah.
You know, see, then you're actually getting into something I might like, and we can't have that. They have to be magic, or else that's it.
Okay. Hello, Al, I'm a magical vampire. Yeah. Oh, boy!
So, you want to live in a world without vampires, do you? All right.
So fucking sick of that guy.
Next email comes...
Especially since every time he shows up, it proves I can't whistle.
Next email comes from Blandy, and he says, Dear Matt, Al, and guest, are you guys still getting LinkedIn requests on my behalf? If so, I'm so sorry for that. Love, Blandy. No, we're not.
Now, is this actually Blandy, or is this Pat in disguise?
That was one of the funniest things that we've gotten in a while, was the voicemail, where it says, oh, by the way, this is Pat. And then he paused for a minute. No, this is Blandy. Wow, he's the master of disguise. I can't imagine why that guy ended up going to prison. He's just such a smooth talker.
You can't arrest me, I'm Blandy.
His cover stories are just flawless.
He's right, we can't.
It's an airtight case, boys. Let him go. I feel like only Wiggum would fall for that.
Take him away, toys.
All right. Yeah, that was kind of a yes or no question. Not really terribly easy to stretch that out to more than...
Yeah, we're still being hassled by LinkedIn, and we still totally blame you.
Yeah, all right. That's fine.
You're the worst.
I don't think he's the worst.
Well, you did a bad thing.
How about you, Beav? Are you still getting emails from Blandy from LinkedIn?
Yes.
All right.
I'm not really.
All right.
But I just assume once you get an email from somebody on LinkedIn, you will always get emails.
Yeah,
LinkedIn.
One of the things I do at work is I monitor the an inbox for applicants for jobs at a major metropolitan software monopoly, and a couple of people somehow put our address into LinkedIn, and we just never stop getting email from them ever. Hmm. It's just, it's insidious. It's horrible. Yeah. And they're not even the pathetic, like MySpace, like, we want you to come back. Please come back. We're sorry. We'll change.
We'll
never get you again. Yeah, exactly.
Baby, we love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing I hate most about LinkedIn. It's like, hey, did you forget that you got invited to LinkedIn?
No, I remembered.
Oh, I'm ignoring you.
Thanks for reminding me. Delete.
Hey, buddy, you haven't called in a while. You remember I called you?
Yeah, huh? Sure do remember that.
Pal?
All right. Next email comes from John Wiggins, and he says, one, if lightsabers actually existed, how many bus patrons would Matt have fights with?
I do hate bus patrons, and I do love lightsabers.
Yeah?
So, probably a lot.
So you'd cut off their hand, and then they'd cut off your hand, and then you'd cut off their other hand?
Right, but then I'd win.
Yeah, because if you had the first... Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you had the high ground, you'd also win, because then you could drop off all their limbs.
That's right. And assuming I have access to robot hands to replace the hands that kept getting lopped off, I should be fine.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
The only real problem is if the bus is crowded, then you have issues.
Yeah, I suppose. I think
you deal with one bus of people with a lightsaber, and you will never be messed with on the bus again.
That's true.
Yeah, that's like the first day in prison. You knock down the toughest guy.
First day in prison, you cut off some guy's hand?
Yeah, then, you know, they'll never
tell them
you again.
You're blindy?
I don't care if you have the death sentence on 12 systems or not. They don't fuck with me.
Except on the bus, you take out the weakest, most pathetic person on the bus. And then nobody will mess with you. If you take them out with a lightsaber...
Well, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
Plus minimum amount of effort.
If you'll mess that person up...
Yeah, you'll mess anybody. That's a good point. All right.
Sorry, now I'm just picturing an elaborate scene of people, like, jumping from head to head on bus passengers while Duel of the Fates plays.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just picturing that scene from Spider-Man 2 where they're in the train, which is also good.
You okay, Spider-Man?
Because that's a good scene.
We'll help you.
Next...
New Yorkers stick together.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I learned from Spider-Man 2.
Until the reboot, and then those guys don't exist anymore.
Yes.
Two, has Dave ever done one of those one man, one plane sort of voiceovers for movie trailers? Dave's not here, man.
What, like an in a world thing?
I guess that, I don't, is it one man, one plane? That's it. So I don't know.
I mean, Dave is one man and he does not have access to a plane anymore.
No, not after he crashed it.
Well, then the Barefoot Bandits stole it.
Well, yeah, that is a fair point.
It was all like, bring back my plane.
No, what I was thinking of was something from Saints Row that he didn't crash it at all. I was thinking of me playing a video game, which is in something entirely different. I don't know if you played that game, Beef, but
I don't play Saints Row
any of the GTA games or anything like that.
Sure.
When you have an aircraft and you're flying and you're bored and you don't feel like flying it anymore, so you just jump out of it and let it crash wherever it goes. That's what I don't know. I just automatically my brain made that association because I did it fairly recently. So
I mean I don't think I've ever landed at like a plane or a helicopter in one of those games.
I land a helicopter because I worked around helicopters for so many years that I feel oddly respectful to them, even if they're pretend. No, I don't want to crash this thing.
Don't you guys understand? This thing is a work of art.
It costs a lot of money.
You know,
and it deserves to be treated as such.
Yes.
The U.S. government is still monitoring you to make sure you're giving helicopters the respect that's due them.
Well, I hope so.
This Ron guy is not giving any respect to these helicopters.
You know, used to work with helicopter stuff.
Yes, and I try to mention that as often as I possibly can for no apparent reason.
Helicopters are cool.
Three, why doesn't Al have a steampunk treehouse in your backyard yet? Ask wife. Well, she's in the next room and I won't be doing that. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't really understand what a steampunk treehouse would entail. Any thoughts, you guys?
Is that Cleveland steampunk?
Cleveland steampunk.
Cleveland steampunk's maybe the worst gang ever to menace Cleveland.
That's a really bad football team.
Although, I just picture, like, a bunch of hoods wearing, like, 1800s dress and taking shits on stuff.
Although, I think the football team there now is called the Cleveland Browns, and that's not much better.
Oh.
They are constantly
Cleveland, how do you get anything done?
Yeah, I could not tell you. I don't know. Cleveland, you know, Cleveland's one of those things that's a bit of a joke anyway. I mean, the only dignified thing I can think about in Cleveland is if you're pretending to be a rock star, that tends to be the city you're always saying, "Hello, Cleveland!" And I don't even know why, but that just seems to be like the go-to city.
Is it because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there?
It's because
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's in Cleveland, isn't it?
I
seem to remember that from the Drew Carey show, which was definitely set in Cleveland.
It is where the heart of rock and roll is, though.
Well, there you go, then. They're saying hello to Cleveland, so Cleveland will acknowledge that they're an actual rock band.
Yeah, that's fair. Or the world's most popular cover band, I suppose.
That's fine, too.
All right. I forget the question. Next one comes from Laura, and she says, hey, guys, what's the haps, Coke or Pepsi, something-something sandwich, etc.? Would you rather have a doubloon or a cup? Thanks in advance, Laura.
Oh, is that, okay. Is that a serious question? Because it's Mardi Gras time, and she's going to either send you a doubloon or a cup?
Well, everything about this show is serious, but did you not catch what we were saying
earlier?
I caught
that earlier when we said that, yeah.
Yeah, come on, pay attention. I honestly don't know, and doubloon is not spelled in the way that I would expect. It's D-U-B-L-O-O-N, and I thought it was D-O-U.
So that's like, what, a gold balloon?
A gold balloon? Yes. A balloon made of gold.
Yes.
Which remarkably doesn't fly very well.
Dun, 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 dun.
That was the part of the origin for the name of the band Gold Zeppelin.
That went over like a bad thing.
I think I'd like, I'd like a doubloon.
All right.
Yeah, I got cups. I got cups for days.
Are you in your cups?
I mean, I could be. I'm not currently.
Ah. All right.
I'll take the doubloon.
I'm going to go with the Daffy Duck answer and ask for the doubloons and the triploons and the quadruploons.
I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I'm financially secure.
Oh, that guy. That duck.
Oh, that duck.
Always in and out of trouble.
He was never wealthy or financially secure.
No. And he would often get mad for the slightest of reasons.
Yep, but he did fight Hitler, so, you know, he's got that going for him.
Yeah, who didn't fight Hitler back then?
Mickey Mouse.
He didn't?
I don't think so. I know Donald Duck did. Well, all the ducks fought Hitler.
Well, of course, there was that whole duck brigade.
I don't think Elmer Fudd fought Hitler.
Well, Elmer
That's
Fudd
too
was...
bad, because he was the only one with training and firearms.
Yeah, and ironically, Elmer Fudd was a conscientious objector. He actually,
Really?
Hitler only fires at harmless woodland creatures. He can't fire at other human beings.
Hitler promised him Lithuania.
Yeah, that's it. Man, I really wish appeasement had an R sound in it. It's just not as funny otherwise. All right. Next one comes from Irish Gav.
The
and
third
he says,
Wike.
What's that?
The third Wike.
Yes, there we go. The master waste. Irish Gav says,
I'm waiting a waste of wabbits.
Dear my people, you asked what Cookie Monster is called in the UK. Well, he's called Biscuit Hero. Also, Al, you were berating Matt for quoting The Crying Game when he used the scorpion in my nature story. Well, it was Voyager, so that's a lot worse.
Oh, fuckery.
Yours, my people, Irish Gav. Apparently that story's been in a lot of things. That story about the scorpion stinging the frog and it's not his nature.
I know it neither from The Crying Game nor from Voyager.
What do you know it from?
I don't remember.
I know it from the story of the snake that does something very similar to that.
Is it like someone trusts the snake and then it is a dick because
it's
a snake?
It's the ride across the river, but I know it as a snake, not a scorpion.
Yeah. I know you can't carry the chicken across the river with the fox because then the fox will eat the chicken.
Well, you have to have more chickens than foxes.
Right.
And you can't leave the grain unattended with the chicken.
There's acceptable losses, too.
See, because chickens will just eat all grain.
Yep. But foxes will not eat grain, but they will eat chickens.
But if you get three chickens to one fox, they'll eat the fox.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, chickens aren't joking.
That's in their nature, I guess.
See, but if you collect five bags of grain, then a little heart floats up to the bottom of the screen, and you go and you get to be big again.
There's something kind of sweet about that.
Yes.
All right. Next one comes from Mike X. Glad he's writing to us again regularly. I missed that. He says, hey, Alan, Matt, I'm assuming there's still no Flonk. I just kind of like that guy.
Well, no, we have a Beeb, though.
Yeah, Beeb's here. Welcome and ready to believe you. And he says, so is that hammer space thing real? The true explanation for how size-changing Transformers change size. Is it in the in-show backstory continuity explanation or an after-the-fact nerd-splanation? Couldn't they go with it's only a kid's TV show? I mean, that's what I did as a kid when I was trying to figure out how their metal faces could move and form expressions or why they needed to keep those humans around. I'll stop now, since this really shouldn't be the Transformer cast with Autobot Al, Decepticon Matt, and a board full of wacky sound samples. Well, thank you. No, the hammer space thing, is a nerd thing, and it describes the physics, the cartoon logic of any cartoon where things change size or disappear, like when a character just reaches and out of nowhere pulls like a hammer or something.
I was gonna say, why is that called hammer space?
I think that's why.
Bugs Bunny reaches into his pocket and pulls out a hammer.
Yeah, I think that's where it originally came from. I think of
those as giant mallets. Frankly.
It may actually be named after like a physicist named Hammer, because I think it's way more scientific than it has any right to be.
Like, oh, I remember that physicist. He was stopped from hurting anyone.
Yeah, I saw that behind the physics. It did not end well. They took away his giant house. All right.
See, it comes from the theory that he would store hammers in his giant pants.
Right.
He gave all his grant money away to all of the people, his hangers-on.
Yeah, and then they took his giant house away, and that's very sad. Like I say, very sad episode of Behind the Physics.
But he got to keep the gates with his name on them.
Well, that's important.
Well, who else is going to use them?
Strapped them to the top of his car and just go around.
Well, then, you know, then if you're following him in an aircraft, you can see who he is. Unless you bail out of the aircraft and it crashes into his gates, that would, that would suck.
I want to see him driving around in his car with the gates affixed to the top, and then he drives off a cliff and the car just flies away. Whatever happened to MC Hammer? Well, you know.
You're not going
to
believe it. There's a,
some say he's still flying around out there.
Nobody says that.
One guy did.
Yeah, you.
That's right.
There's a, since we moved into the place we live in now, I can't really say the new house anymore. We've been here since like October, but, there's a public park. Actually, I think it's a private park nearby, because there's a gate that's always closed, and over the gate is a giant key, and it's, I don't know, 8 feet long, and it's just a key. It looks like a prop for a Batman villain.
Awesome.
I want that key.
You could be the Keymaster.
No, I couldn't.
It may go to the Fortress of Solitude, though.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Or something like that, or just a giant house. But that would be okay.
If you view your area from above, you'll see where it goes. There's a, a hole that it fits in.
It's the thing is, you know, that used to be...
That's how you get through the second exit?
That used to be, like, a clever way to hide things, but, you know, they didn't have Google Earth at that point.
Ah.
And now you can look at everything from the sky, and it's, you know, obvious. So, yeah.
I like to believe that the Earth is its keychain.
That could be, but then there would be other keys, I would assume.
Yeah, they're in the back.
No, all right.
But if the Earth is its keychain, even if it's 8 feet, it's like the tiniest little luggage key.
Yeah, exactly. It opens the Earth's diary. I really want to read that. Find out what happened.
Dear diary, rotated.
Dear diary, broke up with the dinosaurs. It was not pretty. I need some time to think now.
Stop hassling me.
Mike X continues on to the real issue. For Christmas this year, I got some money from a relative, and I used it to buy the last three DVD sets of the show Smallville. I won't bore you with the why of it, but I enjoy watching Smallville, even with the full awareness that it'll never be considered, let's say, high art. Are there any shows you guys have enjoyed in the past that maybe haven't been considered high-quality programming? I would say Star Trek doesn't count, since it's probably more high-quality than not. Are there any really terrible shows you've been fans of? Any Baywatch Nights or Small Wonderses or Misfits of Sciences in your past? Take care, guys. Mike.
I don't think it's necessary to explain why you got Smallville.
Oh?
Being as my family has all the Smallville except for the last season.
All right. Do you maintain that it's a good show, or do you, like Mike, just say, it's fun, who cares?
For the most part, thoroughly enjoyed watching.
Okay. Fair enough.
That is different than good show, but, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Look, I've heard from a lot of people who enjoyed watching it. I've never heard anyone say it was good.
Well, and that's my thing about TV now, is there's so much TV on. I used to, back in the day, watch things that weren't great, but I don't have time now. If I'm going to watch something, there's too much great stuff to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for a guilty pleasure anymore.
I know I have some. I'm trying to think of what they are.
I mean, I got a ton of, you know, sentimental things from childhood that I'll watch from time to time, but that's not really the same, I don't think.
No.
I mean, I love popping in, obviously Transformers, but like an old episode of G.I. Joe or like I don't know, every now and then I'll see that Netflix streaming has, like, the old Spider-Man show. Or, like, the other day I saw that they had the Archie's cartoon from the 70s. Boy,
oh, nice.
Boy, was that bad. Oh, man. But, I don't know, Beav, I feel like you've got, you must have something here.
Yeah, no, not really. Okay. I tend to like the things, I tend to like the things I watch or I don't watch them. And if I don't like something, mm-hmm. I get really itchy to change the channel.
Right.
You know, like, if I sit and something is embarrassingly bad, I really do, I change the channel. I get embarrassed for it, and I can't keep it on.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah. Well, I can't watch The Office.
So, I mean, I watch tons of crappy stuff, but I don't really know what I would put in that category.
Well, I mean, guilty pleasure, I think, is something you acknowledge as crap that you know isn't well-written, that you would almost feel a little embarrassed if somebody you respected came over and saw you watching it.
This season, there are half a dozen shows like that. I changed what I was saying.
Okay.
Two Broke Girls is a terrible show, but I watch mm-hmm. it. Whitney is a terrible show, but I often will watch it. And they're
your fault.
They're bad. They're badly written. They're really raunchy in a way that's not like a good raunchy. Uh-huh. They constantly make jokes about blowjobs and stuff all over the place. I mean, these are in the, like, 8 o'clock hour, some of these uh-huh. shows, which is weird. You know, I have two girls, uh-huh. but my oldest is almost 18, so, I mean, she's not like there's anything.
Well, I mean, they're going to get the jokes, but yeah. it's still maybe not necessarily yeah. something you feel comfortable watching them.
I like it best when they are uncomfortable about the jokes.
You're that dad.
I remember being a kid and sitting, you know, like, with the blanket pulled up all the way over my head almost, pretending like I was asleep. You know, watching mm-hmm. stuff that I shouldn't have been watching while my dad was sitting in the room.
Oh, of course.
You know, and so I like that. Or I'll point out things to them, or I'll say stuff to them to make them mm-hmm. address stuff that makes them want to run out of the room.
Yeah, my mom's on a kick like that now, only she's doing the posting embarrassing pictures of me as a child on Facebook thing. But it's basically the same vibe of making me squirm.
Because she's done posting embarrassing pictures of herself on stuff?
No, she still does that. But I don't listen to that anymore. I click the don't show me her updates thing anymore. But when she tags me in a picture, I can't ignore that.
Oh, you know, Al, she wishes she could be there at Emerald City. Yeah. I was thinking of taking up a collection, maybe doing a Kickstarter for her.
I will kick you.
That's why it's called that.
Yeah. I will kick you so hard.
I also sent her your Twitter address. And
Yeah, because that's hard to figure
that's hard
out.
Yeah. It takes some time to figure that out.
Where the hell would Al hide?
Yeah. Plain sight, my friend.
Yep.
My name is strapped to the roof of my car.
Till you fly off that cliff.
Yeah. Yep. If my mom's coming here, I'm going over. You can't stop me. Might as well just put Toonces behind the wheel because I'm going.
Can that be our cover?
Toonces?
Just a picture of Toonces.
Yeah, why not? We're just blatantly stealing bits from Saturday Night Live now. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
All right. All right, Matt. Guilty pleasures. You haven't spoken up yet.
The only one I can think of right now is, I'm sure you guys don't remember this. It was almost a spinoff of Xena and Hercules, that sort of mid-90s shitty fantasy. It was a Bruce Campbell show called Jack of All Trades.
Oh, I'm aware of it.
And I watched that every week, never missed it, and it was fucking atrocious. Like,
I feel like a lot of nerds have that with Bruce Campbell, though. I feel like,
yeah,
just for some reason, there's a certain segment of nerd that will forgive him for everything and just watch whatever he's in.
Yep. No, but this was fucking bad. Like, yeah. Vern Troyer played Napoleon.
Now, was this pre-Austin Powers?
No, this was after Austin Powers when Vern Troyer was all over UPN.
Poor little
bastard. If you guys remember, there were about 2 months after the second Austin Powers movie came out mm-hmm. where Vern Troyer was on every show UPN put out.
Was Voyager still on at that point?
Yes, it was.
Was he on Voyager?
Yes, he fought The Rock.
Oh, God.
They put a little bump on his forehead and he fought The Rock.
See, now, they could have made him the same race as, like, Clint Howard. They could have, given him some Clint Howard makeup, and he could have been, like, a weird little, like, baby alien.
Yeah.
No.
Fucking bring Tranya to the crew.
Yeah. This is Tranya. All right. But no, I know of the show. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, I don't recall that one. We were big Briscoe County fans, though.
But see, Briscoe County is a good show.
Good show, like, absolutely.
I've heard that. And then we briefly, before the last Post-Atomic Horror we recorded, we're talking with Brian about the show that was the knockoff of Briscoe County, which was, I think, Legend with John DeLancey and MacGyver. Was it?
There's your all-star lineup.
Was it Legend? I don't remember.
I think
it had a generic name like that. But it was Richard Dean Anderson and John DeLancey, and it was actually a ripoff of a show that already wasn't doing very well on a different network. I mean, say what you will about Briscoe County. I never saw it, so I can't judge. But it was not exactly a ratings, you know.
No, but it was certainly not.
It was like, it was one of those shows like Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Oh, man.
Good show. I mean, a great show that just didn't blow up.
Well, Fox, in the early days, did take some weird chances and kind of experimented a little and did some unusual things.
But that show did stuff that it wasn't until Scrubs again that some of it was done. You know, I mean, it was like, that was an awesome show.
As I recall, that show came out at the same time as the Ferris Bueller TV show, and they were both lumped together.
Ferris Bueller was an awful knockoff of it. I'm pretty sure Parker Lewis did better than the Ferris Bueller show.
I think it was one of those things where two things that were similar came out at the same time, and they both didn't do as well because they were seen as competing or something like that.
Yeah,
right. That's why why all those asteroid movies crapped out.
Yeah, and why those movies about Prefontaine didn't do well. Remember those? No, you don't. Never mind.
I don't even remember Post-Fontaine.
Yeah. Crap. Nice taking my joke.
Right. You're welcome.
To be obvious. All right, got a couple of voicemails here now, so stand by for that.
Oh, Alan Matt, this is Chakotay. I'm calling in regards to my people. Well, not my people, but the Werewolf Clan. You were making fun of Columbia, Missouri, and where they were located. Those are sacred tribal grounds for my people. I mean, their people. And I just wanted you to know that you need to respect their people and their culture at all times. And this is a real terrible Chakotay impression. Goodbye.
Impression?
I don't understand.
I thought that was Chakotay.
Why would Chakotay do a Chakotay impression?
I feel maybe it's someone from his tribe doing, like,
Is Chakotay from Missouri?
I don't know. He's an American Indian, though, right? I mean, he's from somewhere in America, so it's possible. I honestly don't know. I honestly don't care. We're going to have to know it at some point, and I'm trying to stave that off as long as possible.
I'd be interested to see how we handle Voyager. If we try as hard as possible to pay as little attention to it as we can. All of our reviews are like, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that, you know, after 178 episodes, that might get a little thin.
I think it would continue to be awesome.
We may run into creative differences here, Matt.
Well, it'll be about time.
Beef, you tell me, as a potential listener, would you want to tune in each week and hear two guys say, I don't remember what I just watched? Good night, everybody.
I know we watched it because my ass is still hurting, but I just don't know what happened.
I'd listen
to you guys read the phone book, but that's just because you pay me.
Oh, well, all right then. What's a phone book?
That's that thing you named yourself so that you could be first in it.
Oh, right, of course. That was so long ago.
You got beat out by AA1 Algar.
Damn it. Curse you, Alberto Algar. Chakotay was born in 2329 on a Federation colony near the Cardassian Demilitarized Zone. I'm already bored. So, no, he's, for all we know, he's never been to Earth.
Chakotay was...
Yeah.
He's a space Indian.
Well... He wasn't the first in Star Trek either, is the thing.
No.
Or even the third. There's been a lot of
space. The Cardassians took my land.
No.
But not a space India, because I'm sure they exist too, as space Africa exists.
Yeah, well, there's
a... I assume just all the space, you know...
Continents and countries.
Continents and countries. Sure. Yeah, you know, the weird thing is, I bet there's a planet for each continent, but then there's also a planet for each country. It's a big universe.
Of course. And there's, of course, a planet for each historical culture as well.
Yes, each historical like Earth culture. Screw the rest
right.
of the.
Oh,
universe
of course. Yeah, there's not a history. There's not like an ancient Klingon planet.
Well, no, because the Klingon planet has always been basically the same.
Yep.
Do you know why? Because there were no Klingon producers. That's why.
Of course.
Yeah, and no Klingon backlots. That,
that's right.
Where there are cheap Klingon sets.
Oddly enough, there have been three Klingon directors, and they were fantastic.
Well, I think I just saw the movie Drive, and I think that was directed by a Klingon. It was Nicholas Kapla or something like that.
Nicholas Kapla.
Yeah. All right, we got another voicemail here.
Hey, Alan, Matt and Al. It's your old pal Adrian. I was listening to you guys talk about Walter Koenig, and Walter wrote a book. And, like, giving Takai, you know, a copy of the book and getting him to say things. Have you guys thought, like, maybe going up to him and asking for a blurb and so that he gives you a blurb of, these guys wrote a book, period, George Takai? Because that would be amazing. Or if you can actually find, I know it would be, like, really bad for you guys because I know how much you hate him. But walk up to Walter Koenig, ask him to say that, and, like, allow him to publish, these guys wrote a book, Walter Koenig, on the back of your book. Because that would be astonishing. I would buy so many copies just for that. Probably not. I think I'm lying. But I think it would be great if you guys would just get Walter Koenig to say, these guys wrote a book, period. Or maybe even these guys apparently wrote a book, question mark. Like, really confused. That'd be even better. But yeah, you should get Walter Koenig to try. You should find Walter Koenig at, like, whatever convention center he's at this weekend. And get him to say something very statement-y about your book. Like, this is, out of the many Star Trek books written this year, this is one of them, Walter Koenig, because it'd be amazing. All right. Goodbye.
All right, okay. This is our literary agent checking in.
I have two comments right off the bat, if you don't mind. Sorry to, you know,
no,
jump
by
in front
all
like this. The first is, the Klingon director was Francis Ford Coppola.
Thank you.
And the second is, Walter Koenig will not have people dictate his punctuation.
Are
he
you
refuses.
Sure? Cause...
He refuses.
Even if I give him a sandwich?
Do, even if you give him a sandwich, you can tell him the words to say, but mm-hmm. he will put the question mark, the period, the exclamation point on the end as he sees fit.
Huh.
He's an artist that way.
Well, that he's got to be an artist some way, and I've been trying to figure out how for many years.
And that's
years,
the
so.
Way.
All right.
And yes, to answer his question, I did consider that any of the Star Trek people there, we should at least try to get pictures of somebody in a shirt near them. If mm-hmm. not, have them sign a shirt or do something similar to that.
But not necessarily
tell them exactly what to say in order to put it on the back.
Well, and the
at
thing
that point,
I think
it's late.
I think Adrian may be confused by the process by which a book is written and published, but when we get to Emerald City, our book will have been written. It's kind of too late to get a cover blurb at that point.
Yeah.
Unless we then break out the silver Sharpie and have George write it on every single copy.
Which, depending on how much we are willing to pay...
Actually, you're going to have about like 100 people there. I mean, so you could just have everybody gets a Sharpie and gets to write the quotes on there by hand. All of your countless
but then
fans.
it's a cover blurb from Beeve, and it's a cover blurb from Laura, and it's a cover, you know, like, it's not exactly the same as getting it from George Takei.
But then you could collect all your favorite characters from the show.
Characters from the show.
Yeah, that's what I assume all of us are.
All these great characters that
you've
created.
I got Beeve and El Cinco. And which then they would say, I win.
Oh, well, nice. I got the foil Brewtown Andy variant, so this one's rare.
See, I figured when you said we had 100 people that we were just going to threaten George Takei to sign all of our books.
Just surround.
It's a real shame if something happened to your table, Mr. Takei.
As long as he doesn't have access to a sword, I think we're good.
Or his gun.
Well, yeah.
Or his why gun. Did I? Why did I leave that at home?
And he's just going to look at you and say, stop doing my voice.
He goes, I'm not doing your voice. I just have a cold.
I never said, oh my.
An Asian cold.
Right.
But I did say tripping balls like 14 times.
From San Francisco.
An Asian cold from San Francisco?
Yes.
I was born there.
He was born there, you know.
Yes. All right. That is all the mail that we have. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. That's the problem, is people don't write us nearly enough.
No. If they had written more, I'd be on longer.
That's right. That's exactly how it works.
You know,
people, frantically typing up letters to answer.
signed Beef. No, Blandy.
Right. All of them are signed Blandy.
Beef, it's always a delight, though. I'm sure we'll have you back again.
Awesome.
This is a thing I think we're going to start doing a bit more. We haven't had people on as much as we used to, and we'll probably start doing that again. So.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Anytime.
Always a delight, and the usual housekeeping is in effect. Emerald City's in a couple of weeks. Pre-order our books, blah, blah, blah. You know the deal.
I got a chance to check out our book on Makobo, mm-hmm. and it kicks ass.
Yeah, we are simultaneously working on an electronic book version of both books as well, and yeah, we're testing that now, and it works. Like, it works on my iPad, it works on your Kobo. Somebody tried it on a Kindle and a Nook, and those are good, so...
They both exploded.
Yes. So the beep beep electronic versions will be good to go. That's what they're called.
Yes.
Beep beep electronic versions.
Sure. And if I can say something?
Yes.
I am writing a series of, so far they're not very good or anything, but I'm writing a series of posts leading up to Emerald City. Mm-hmm. Under the Long Con is the name I've given them. And
nice.
It's on talkaboutcomics .blogspot.com. I guess.
We will put that in the show notes, and we'll put the real address because you don't sound too confident in the one.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember these things. But I've started with leading up to and thoughts about, and then when I go, I plan to post stuff about, and then, you know, the after. So that's a sort of a series of posts all relating to the fact that I'm taking this big, giant trip to
sure.
see a bunch of people that I haven't met in person.
You've met me before.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's it, actually.
I haven't met your current child bride.
That's true. You met my previous child bride.
And I haven't met Matt.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I've met some number of other people that are going to be there.
Have you?
Mostly the ones who've been... Yeah, well, I met Jen, and I met...
Tara. Oh, that's true. Okay, you met the ones that also live in Maryland.
Yes.
Very well.
And I met Bob.
And it is, in fact, talking about comics.blogspot.
Yeah. I have actually met Bob. He doesn't remember me.
Bob doesn't sleep much, so that's
probably
all.
Oh, it's okay. I wouldn't remember me either if I wasn't me.
I remember you, Beef. I remember you enough for all of us.
Will you remember me?
Of course.
I will remember you.
Yes. And with that, we are going to stop singing now and also talking.
This installment of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast featured Matt Robotham with Chris Coleman, Brian Lynch, Amanda Smith, and Sabrina Snyder. It was written by Matt Robotham and Gav Brown. I'm your announcer, Ron Algar Watt. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2012.
Is this what my life has amounted to? Being stared at by perverts, not able to move, not able to even dress myself. At least I have a view, I suppose, but it could be better.
That's The Secret Life of a Mannequin Depressive, only on SVN.